All right, Callahan and Torty to start hour number three of this week in pro football on 97.5. The Fanatic, the National Football League, here live from the Parks Casino Sportsbook in Bensalem, PA. Don't forget to stick around for the Joe Torty Bizarro Lock of the Year coming up at around 11:45, where Joey T, who's picking this year, like he is addicted to bourbon every Saturday morning, is going to unleash his one pick that you absolutely have to go against.
That's the key. Maybe it should have been bourbon this whole time. All right, now we're thinking about turning this whole thing around.
All right, let's turn the show around. Let's bring on the host of the NFL Matchup Show, the author of Philly Special, and a Hall of Fame elector, and that would be Sal Palantonio. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, Pat and Joe. How are you guys doing?
All right. I know you've got a busy weekend, Sal. I want to get right to it because I know I understand you're covering Baltimore, Buffalo, and then you're hustling back to Philadelphia to observe the 5-7 Eagles against the 2-10 Giants.
Yeah, I'm calling it Cyber Monday. The NFC East is on sale, on a discount. Somebody's
got
to buy it.
All right. Well, that's where I want to start. And if you allow me, I promise I won't be too long. It's just a two-part question to start. One is, I want your observations or thoughts about the Cowboys' performance on Thursday night. And then what I want you to do is compare what is wrong in Dallas to what is wrong in Philadelphia. Okay?
Okay. Well, the first thing I would say about the Dallas Cowboys is they're just an undisciplined football team. I went back and I looked at a lot of the plays, especially on defense, because, you know, they made Mitchell Trubisky look like Bobby Douglas, the old Bears quarterback.
I remember.
Yeah, who used to be, you know, sort of the template of how quarterbacks run the football until Michael Vick showed up.
Right.
So, you know, with Trubisky looking like Bobby Douglas, they just allowed him to operate freely, both in the pocket and outside the pocket. And, you know, they had way too many defensive penalties. They're now second in the league in defensive penalties, the Cowboys. So, you know, undisciplined, didn't have gap protection, didn't account for Trubisky as a runner. And I saw a lot of just, as Vince Lombardi once said, a lot of clutching and grabbing out there.
So then compare that now in Philadelphia. So the problem in Dallas, it's not a talent thing. Is there something in the Dallas locker room that's causing this? And then I want you to compare it to whatever is causing Philadelphia to be 5-7.
Well, I'm not going to go out on a limb here, Pat, because I think pretty much the entire Metroplex in Dallas shares this view, and that is that Jerry Jones set up Jason Garrett for failure. Right? He's a lame duck. Then he started talking about the fact that, you know, there could be coaching changes, or there might be coaching changes, or Jason Garrett will coach somewhere in the league next year. That kind of talk is poisonous to a locker room and poisonous to the moral authority of your head coach. So I think he undermined Jason Garrett with all that talk. As for the Eagles, I think it was on three different levels where they failed in Miami after looking at it and studying it. Number one, the defensive coordinator failed to adjust in the second half when he needed to. I would have played a lot more cover two. He had Rodney McLeod as a single high safety. McLeod was overmatched, slow to get there for help for his corners, and that was a big, big issue. Secondly, Doug Peterson in the second half failed to eat up the clock by running the ball enough. When you're sending your defense out on the field in the heat in Miami over and over again, and the defense is not responding, you got to make sure your offense holds on to the football. You got to play complementary football. So I would say those are the top two things. And then three, when he had a chance at the end of the game, Carson Wentz failed to carry the team once again.
Sal, we were listening and talking earlier about how Mike Groh was laying out the reasons why the Eagles didn't run the ball as much and talking about game flow and the way that the game was going and things like that. You know, based on what you've seen, how do coaches balance, you know, matchups and things like that versus dictating, okay, this is the way that the game is going to go. We are going to run the football. We are going to control time and possession.
That's a good question, Joe, and I really don't know the answer to that. I think, you know, Doug just is morphing into his best Andy Reid imitation right now.
Yeah. That's exactly the analogy. That's exactly what I said earlier, Sal. That's correct. And his comments, Sal, just give me your thoughts here. This is a quote from Doug. I'm disappointed. They wanted this a little more than we did, and they made the plays than we did. Now, what kind of comment is that to make? I mean, do you think he was? Do you think he really meant it when he said that Miami wanted it more than he did, or was it just filler?
Well, you know, those comments examined and re-examined and analyzed the death over the last week, Pat. I will just say this. Watch the team's actions during the week. Doug put the team in pads. Try to instill in them a sense of urgency. You know, obviously, it's several weeks too late. But the bottom line is, he needs to pull the rug from out under their comfort zone and say, okay, Cowboys lost Thursday night in Chicago. We have this opportunity, and if you don't take advantage of it, you basically regret it for the rest of your careers.
Yeah. All right, well, it's fair enough. It's crucible time, certainly. And then the Giants come in Monday night. Sal, the Giants come in without Danny Dimes, whatever that's worth, and they go back to Eli. I'm not concerned, but Eli's 10-20 against the Eagles, and he clearly is minutes from retiring, I would think. Are you concerned at all about him taking the reins as the Giants quarterback Monday night?
I'm not. I don't think the Giants are a very good team. They may rally again around Eli just a little bit. The one major difference is that Daniel Jones has been turning the ball over at an alarming rate. I think he's already set a record for rookie quarterbacks in terms of turnovers. So Eli won't turn the ball over nearly as much. He will protect the ball a lot more than Jones has. And that means the Eagles will have to work harder. Jones would give them the game. Manning will not.
Sal, obviously the matchup show paints a good picture into what you can look at across the league and what you should be watching for. When you're looking at this game, the Giants and the Eagles, what are some of the matchups that you've highlighted for the matchup show?
Well, you know, we kind of ignored this game in the matchup show because we have such good matchups in Week 14.
That's right.
You know, if you go on Twitter at NFL Matchup, you will see our breakdown on Twitter. It's not part of the regular program. And the important thing that we looked at is no real surprise. Number one is the Eagles have to control the line of scrimmage on offense. They're capable of doing that. The Giants' defensive line, even with Leonard Williams, is not that good. The Eagles' offensive line is the strength of this team. Period. Paragraph, next, full stop, next thought. The Eagles' offensive line is the strength of this team, and you should be able to dictate what you want offensively against the Giants' very weak defense.
All right, we're talking with Sal Powell, who Hall of Fame elector, the author of Philly Special, and the host of the NFL Matchup Show. Sal, let's get to these bigger games, the big games that are happening. We'll start with the one that you are covering, which is Baltimore traveling to Buffalo to play the surprising Bills. Sal, I'll start with this. This game features the two quarterbacks with the most rush yards by opposing quarterbacks in NFL history. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, is tomorrow the quarterback who runs the best is going to win the game?
Yeah. Could be like that. Now, Pat, you know, you're not hitting the Wayback Machine, you're right. You're Mr. Old School personified. So I want you to go back to the championship game in 2004. Falcons at Eagles. Vic was at the height of his powers. The Eagles' late defensive coordinator, Jim Johnson, devised a very simple mush-rush scheme where the defensive line simply stood up They didn't fire off into the backfield. They looked around for Vic, and they cut off his escape routes from the pocket. Vic, in that game, 26 yards rushing in the 2004 NFC Championship game. His third fewest of the 2004 season, and was also his fewest rushing yards in any career postseason start. Now, who was Jim Johnson's protege? You have 3 seconds to respond.
That might be Sean McDermott.
Sean McDermott is correct. He coached under Jim Johnson. Now he's coaching the top five defense in Buffalo. Okay? So you can expect Lamar Jackson will see a lot of what Jim Johnson did against Michael Vick. Because the San Francisco 49ers with Nick Bosa put their head down and just went after Lamar Jackson, allowed him to escape from the pocket, and he ran all over them. Buffalo will not do that. This will be, without a doubt, Lamar Jackson's toughest challenge because McDermott's going to be super patient, just like Jim Johnson was with Michael Vick in 2004.
Sal, obviously one of the games that we're looking at as well is the San Francisco at New Orleans game, and it's a team that is still, despite a really good season, looking up at the Seahawks in their division versus a Saints team that has clinched already. What are you expecting to see from that game?
Which game is this now?
San Fran at New Orleans.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be tough for San Francisco to lose two straight. They lost a tough game in Baltimore. They went down to Florida, and they worked out there for a week at IMG in the Tampa area, and now they're in New Orleans. And I think they'll be rejuvenated, re-energized, and even beating the Saints. The Saints have already clinched the division. The Niners just have so much more to play for.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a, I like San Francisco in that game, too. That's going to be a tough one for the Saints. They got four games now. But I understand you want to get one of those top seeds. And it's critically important to the Saints. The third game we wanted to talk about is also up in your neck of the woods this weekend. Kansas City travels to New England. Let's talk a couple minutes here about this. You know, the Patriots might be the most dissected 10-2 team in NFL history. You know, they're clearly offensively, there's a lot of... there's just a lot of problems right now with New England in terms of trying to come up with a fluid offense. Give me your thoughts on where the Patriots are offensively right now.
They're one-dimensional. They're actually a one-man band. You look at the Vaughn film, it's Tom Brady and Edelman. Edelman has, I think, the third most targets of any wide receiver in the league. And when you cut off Edelman, he goes to James White. I expect Spagnuolo to put a corner on White, just like Romeo Crennel did in the Houston game. Romeo Crennel, the defensive coordinator of the Texans, and to double-team Edelman and force Brady to hold on to the ball, and then you get after Brady. You know, Steve Spagnuolo, he replaced Sutton as the defensive coordinator after the AFC Championship game last year. The loss to the Patriots cost Sutton his job. But the Chiefs are not that much better on defense. They're 29th in the league on third down defense. If you let Brady stay on the field on third down in Foxborough, you're going to go home a loser.
On the other side, when the Chiefs have the ball, we've been talking about it, Sal, the Patrick Mahomes hasn't really looked like his MVP self. Do you see this being the game that he gets right?
Well, no, I don't. I think this is a game where Andy Reid has to look at how the Eagles failed against the Patriots a couple of weeks ago at the Link and just run the ball. Mm-hmm. You can run on the pass. Don't try to throw on them. They have the best pass defense in the league.
And Mahomes only has 20 touchdown passes this year. Way off the pace that he set last year. But Sal, New England's defense, I don't know. I think they feasted on the easiest first half schedule in the history of the NFL. And now, my theory, Sal, and you and I have talked about this because I thought it was prevalent with the Eagles for a number of years, was they're not big enough. And I think the Patriots' defense is starting to wear down because, you know, Kyle Van Noy, who looks to me to be about 260, constantly rushing against a 330-pound left tackle, it's wearing him down.
So yeah, I think he looks slow.
Yeah. I think the Patriots might fade. I think they could have trouble tomorrow, even if Mahomes tries to test them passing the ball.
Hey, Pat, if they don't run the ball, the Chiefs, and keep Brady off the field, they're going to lose the game.
Okay. All right.
So, Sal, the other thing that I've been keeping an eye on, because the whole thing just fascinates me, is in Jacksonville, where it's back to Gardner Minshew, Nick Foles is back to the bench. What hasn't worked in Jacksonville for Foles that kind of did work here in Philadelphia and allowed him to be successful?
You know, Joe, it just has nothing on my radar.
Yeah. I gotcha. You got a lot of balls in the air. You got a lot of things.
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't really covered Jacksonville. They sort of have been irrelevant.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Yep.
Yeah.
If you had to name the two most anonymous teams in the NFL, we were talking about earlier, probably Tennessee and Jacksonville. But, Nick Foles is a long way removed, unfortunately, from 2017. But anyway, it is a big game Sunday. I mean, we got big. And the other one, Sal, we haven't talked about yet, is Seattle Sunday night goes to Los Angeles. And the Rams 7-5. I mean, they have a shot, but not a big one because Minnesota's schedule is pretty easy. But just tell me your thoughts on Seattle. The fact that I mentioned to Joe that they've only scored 36 more points than they have given up, and yet are 10-2.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
that really is, and that has everything to do with the fourth quarter performances of Russell Wilson. He's never out of the game, Pat. Never out of the game. It's truly remarkable. You know, he'll make mistakes during the game, but he finds a way to win. And they have just enough offensively around him to make sure that he can succeed, especially in the red zone and especially in the fourth quarter. They get into the red zone more than any other team, and they score touchdowns in the red zone more than any other team. It's just like the Ravens. The Ravens have faced the fewest fourth downs this year in the NFL, and they've also converted the most fourth downs.
How about that?
And that's because their quarterback.
Yeah.
You have to account for him at all times as a runner and a passer. Same with Russell Wilson. Same with Deshaun Watson. I mean, the dual threat quarterback is here.
I know. And we'll see if it has the staying power. It certainly seems like it if you look at the 2019 season that it does. But all right, I want to get to the top five. It's brought to you by Gleason's Bar at 6700 Mill Creek Road in Levittown, PA, right up the street from Truman High. Our buddy Pat McConney recently took over Gleason's. He's just rolled out his South Philly-style cheesesteak. So stop on by Gleason's this weekend for their sliced, not chopped to death, ribeye on a South Philly baked roll. Grab an ice cold beer from one of 10 taps. Watch the Birds on 6 brand new televisions at Gleason's Bar, 6700 Mill Creek Road in Levittown. All right, we're just going to do a straight top five, men. All right, because we're at the three-quarter poll, and I wanted to do this because I only have one AFC team in my top five, which I think is notable in that I don't have New England in it. Somehow I excluded a 10-2 team, but I think the Patriots are a tired team right now. I got Baltimore 1. I have Seattle, too. We just talked about it. Only 36 more points, and yet I've got them as the second toughest team in the NFL. I got New Orleans 3, San Francisco 4, Green Bay 5. Joey T?
I'm not here for your San Francisco slander. Your hate for the San Francisco 49ers is just, it's going to be your downfall this year. I've got the Baltimore Ravens as the best team in the NFL. I've got the 49ers as the second best team in the NFL. Number 3, Seattle. I do have the Patriots in at number 4, and I have New Orleans at number 5.
All right. Sal, break the tie.
Oh, no, Pat, I'm with you. I got Baltimore, Seattle, New Orleans, San Francisco, Green Bay, right down the line.
How about that? Now, when you match up with Sal, all right, that's it.
You're cooking with gas.
We win, and you lose.
I'll take it.
All right, that is that, all right? And if you could ever match Sal like that, you get his Hall of Fame vote. I think that's the
right. Congratulations,
yes,
then.
Yes.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, but...
You know, I think that I've had Seattle and Baltimore in the Super Bowl since about 3-4 weeks ago. But I'm beginning to doubt a little bit because, I don't know, I just don't think anybody can go into New Orleans this year and beat New Orleans in the NFC Championship game. So, I mean, to me, if New Orleans winds up getting the first seed, I think they could advance to the Super Bowl.
I don't know, Sal, you mentioned, and you were, by the way, you were just about right, Julian Edelman has the second most targets in the NFL this year. You know who number one is? Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas.
And to me, Sal, if you want to beat the Saints, you rush up the middle on Drew Brees, and you double cover Michael Thomas. Why don't to me, that sounds way too easy a way to do it, but that's the way you beat New Orleans.
You know what's going to happen tomorrow? You watch. Sean Payton is going to have a lot of Taysom Hill in that game. He's going to use Taysom Hill as a natural substitute for Drew Brees because the 49ers struggle with Kyler Murray. They struggled with Russell Wilson. They struggled big time with Lamar Jackson. Running quarterbacks give the Niners problems because of their over-pursuit.
Right. That's fair. That'll be very interesting to see that tomorrow. It could be a big-time NFC playoff preview. And, Sal, we appreciate it. Want you to stay safe this week and get back here. It's going to be raining. You're going to have the socks ready for Monday night. But all right, but appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week, pal. Right?
One of these days they're going to send me out to the West Coast to the Coliseum to watch one of those, you know, nice, warm, and cozy games they play out there in La La Land. But I don't get those assignments, Pat.
They know you can take it, Sal.
Hey, Sal, I'm disappointed. Next year, the Rams come here. I understand that. That's already been decided somehow. So when they open up that new stadium, I was hoping that they would go out there. We'd do the show from out there.
Hey.
But we'll have to pick another one, Sal. Sorry about that. All right,
Pat.
All right, thanks,
there he is. Sal Palantonio joining us on This Week in Pro Football.
All right.
I'm shooketh by the fact that you and Sal lined up on the top five.
But even you had New England four. Yeah. And Sal and I didn't have them at all.
Didn't
that
have
speaks
them in.
Some volumes about
sure
that,
does.
Doesn't it? No? I mean, our team, you think about it. They beat the Eagles here. What was the final? 17-9, was it? They beat the Eagles here. I forget what the score was.
I can't remember. I've wiped that.
You know, and then they beat Dallas 13-9. I think the Eagles game was like 17-13.
You know, on one hand, Tyler, are you hearing this? He's praising Seattle for pulling out all of these close games, and now he's talking about the Patriots beating bad teams by low scores, and all of a sudden that's when score differential matters.
We've got to play this across the board, gentlemen, one way or the other.
I'm telling you.
All right. You know what? There's merit to your comeback. Back there, Torty, which is surprising in and of itself. But I would still say there's a tangible difference. Seattle, you know, first off, they can win a game 37-30. I'm not sure the New England offense is capable of doing that.
Fair.
All right. But the Seahawks just, I don't know. It's fair to say that they just do it with a hell of a lot more energy than New England does it?
Yes, that is entirely fair to say. New England does it by taking the air out of the ball on defense.
Yeah, can you imagine? But I don't think that defense is going to hold up. I really don't.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
So it's it's a good point you bring up there. But I imagine that. The Patriots, we listed 15 teams in the top five, and they showed up once.
That's how the times have changed, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah. So we'll see what Kansas City does here tomorrow. That'll be very interesting to see how that goes. But anyway, when we get back, we're going to let's do a little Do You Remember. And we're at 610-632-0975. We got to do an Eagles prediction. And then the floor goes to Joey T.
No, boy, if we have to do that. He's Pat Callahan. I'm Joe Torty. Plenty of action coming your way as we roll to the top of the hour on This Week in Pro Football right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, you've been listening to us all morning long, broadcasting from the beautiful, spacious, fabulous, luxurious Parks Casino and Sportsbook right here in Bensalem, right off of Street Road. And you know what? It is great to come down here, but you don't have to if you're not in the area. I know, listen, you should check it out. Everybody should come down and see it. If you haven't been inside the sportsbook here, it truly is a sight to behold. But thanks to Parks, they're always thinking about you, and they've got you covered with the app, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app, where you can place all of your wagers from the convenience of your smartphone. Of course, you could also go to parkscasino.com/PA. And the lineup so far, looking pretty good for the weekend. In fact, if you take a look at the college slate, you've got LSU laying 7 points at Georgia, Baylor getting 9 points at Oklahoma. I don't know. That might be a lot of points for Baylor to be getting, even on the road there. And then, of course, pro football. We've been talking about the big games all show long. Baltimore laying 6 points at Buffalo. Green Bay laying 12.5, hosting Washington. Tennessee giving 3 points to the Oakland Raiders on the road. And New England laying 3, hosting Kansas City. Brady and the Patriots only laying 3 against Kansas City. We'll see about that. It's Parks Casino and Sportsbook broadcasting live. We are. They're our friends. They can be your friends, too. They're my guys. You can bet with the best. Parks Casino Sportsbook. Must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Career long in college for Elliott, 56. This to win it and become an instant hero in Philadelphia, Jake Elliott. It's good. Philadelphia wins it.
Franklin Field, Philadelphia. 13-9 Giants, halftime score. Tough game. Don Meredith, key point.
Oh, I think a couple of fumbles, Howard. You got a fumbled punt, and you also got a fumble down in offensive territory. There's some big plays for the Eagles and the Giants. So it's a close ball game. There's a lot of hitting out there, and it is cold here in Philadelphia, and I'm looking forward to the second half. We're going to see who's going to win.
A lot of people thought that the Giant transformation from inefficiency to total efficiency was unreal.
All right. Cal Annatore back here on This Week in Pro Football, 97.5 The Fanatic. Here at the Parks Casino Sportsbook. I guess you don't, do you recognize Howard Cosell there, Joey?
Like it was yesterday.
Yeah,
like it was yesterday, Pat.
That game was 1970, and it was freezing cold here in Philadelphia, that Monday night game, and Howard was allegedly well into the sauce as that game got going. He eventually left the game. They made up something about an earache or something like that.
Oh, I hope he recovered.
Because it was an open-air booth, and it was cold that night. So.
Franklin Field? Still is.
And then, that's right, Joe. You're a veteran of that. Joey
still
T.
Is.
I know. You would never hit the juice while you were doing a broadcast.
The sauce? No way. Not while I'm doing the broadcast. Now, the dreaded pick segment might drive me to drink off the air, but certainly not on.
And then Jake Elliott's field goal, which is an Eagle record, right? Still an Eagle record to beat the Giants. What was that? 2017 was that?
Yeah.
So that was a big moment, I guess, in Giants Eagles history here at Lincoln Financial Field. Do you remember? Presented by the good folks at Park Bank. All right, how about a little Eagle prediction here, Joe? I know you've been stalling it. I want to hear you say to the multitudes here in Philadelphia and environs that the Giants are going to win this game Monday night.
I can't say that. I cannot say that the Giants are going to win, but I will say that I am not confident in the Eagles' ability to put anybody away. They might win this game by the skin of their teeth, and Doug Peterson gets to stand up at the podium afterwards and say, we did what it took to win the game, blah, 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 and things like that. I don't think either way, after Monday, the Eagles are going to have anything to feel good about after the game when it comes to Tuesday.
Is the weather supposed to be that terrible? It's supposed to be showers. Is that right?
Let's look at the weather forecast here for Monday night.
So, because I think the Eagles,
it's like 60 degrees.
Oh, that's very warm.
Yeah.
It's very warm. And then there's a chance of rain, right? Showers?
100% chance.
100%
it is going to rain. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, it'll be like 57 degrees or something like that at kick.
I'd say that. I still say Philadelphia puts at least 23 on the board, say 27 maybe. Say 27-13 Philadelphia.
Okay.
All right.
I'll go with Philadelphia winning, but like I said, not feeling very good about it. Something like a 21-17 kind of situation.
That's very close, Joey. But all right, your skepticism about Philadelphia, even though it's well, certainly understood. But
I won't be heard again, Pat.
No, I understand. I won't be heard again is right. All right, back to some plays, Joe. that identify teams. All right, Philadelphia. Is there any other play that identifies the Eagles except for Philly Special?
Philly Special's the one. You could go with either Miracle at the Meadowlands, I thought were good plays as well. And then the Brian Westbrook punt return, the Deshaun Jackson, and then, of course, Herm Edwards getting the football on the aborted kneel down or whatever it was. Like, there's a lot of different things you can point to, but I think Philly Special in the Super Bowl is the play.
I think the Miracle of the Meadowlands best identifies the New York Giants, which, you know, unfortunately, like, again, you could say the helmet catch, would in the Super Bowl that Eli threw. But I think in terms of the Giants franchise, which has been a moribund franchise more often than not, the Miracle of the Meadowlands is a great team play that summarizes that team, certainly. Some other teams, the New York Jets, is there any doubt what play most typifies the New York Jets? Any doubt
yes,
at all?
Yes, there is some doubt. Because, of course, there's the Joe Namath, guaranteed, everything like that. But the butt fumble is the best play.
It's strictly a butt fumble is the only thing that identifies the New York Jets. And then how about the Oakland Raiders? Team with a very long and storied history, very successful history. But I have one play down that I think identifies the Raiders more than any other. And that is the ghost of the post. The ghost of the post is Kenny Stabler to Dave Casper, I think, identifies the Raiders better than anything. What do you got?
I had them on two plays. I had them on the Immaculate Reception, and I had them on the tuck rule, too. So I had them being victimized.
You had two negatives.
Exactly.
You had two negatives.
Channeling my inner Pat Callahan
See, you always look at things so negatively.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Gets me, but a very storied history there. One other NFC team, the Washington Redskins. I identified them as John Riggins running the
Riggins.
Super Bowl.
Yep.
Probably the most, I guess, most famous play in Redskin history,
Probably is.
It did win him a Super Bowl, so I guess that would qualify.
I'm trying to think if there are others. Is there anything? There's nothing that stands out about the Clinton Portis era or the... the Champ Bailey era. RG3 didn't have one play where you...
You're right. No single play
like Riggins.
Like Riggins' play. So, still an interesting thing to talk about how you try and boil a team's entire franchise down to one play. But like Kansas City, I would say Hank Stram made it famous. I don't know if they had the number. What was it, 26 cross-power trap or whatever he says, 48 times standing on the sideline. then the play that beats, Mike Garrett runs it in for a touchdown for Kansas City to help beat Minnesota in the Super Bowl. That to me was the play for the Chiefs.
What about the Rams? I had the Rams being the Super Bowl saving tackle.
That's what you had too?
I are right on board.
I know.
Right there.
And hopefully that stops now.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Doesn't continue into the next segment. I do not want to be simpatico with you.
No.
In the next one. But yeah, I'd say the tackle is probably it. Believe me, I could name you three dozen that go the other way in Rams history, but no one's going to want to even hear. A lot of them go the other way. Cincinnati, the play that identifies Cincinnati to me is John Taylor's touchdown in the Super Bowl for San Francisco.
Okay, you have that one. Yeah. I had Carson Palmer getting wrecked.
Wrecked by
Kimo von Olhoffen.
Kimo von Olhoffen,
yes.
That's right. He had chemo. He was chemoed.
He was, Not the right chemo treatment.
And at Denver, it was the opposite of Cleveland. I had the pass from Elway to Mark Jackson to win the finish off the drive or the fumble by Ernest Biner a year later, which cost Cleveland a Super Bowl trip that year.
Yeah, those were really good choices for sure. Man,
boy,
there's a lot of sad history.
I know, there is. You're right. It's funny. Jeez. You think it plays that identify a team, and you're right. Over half of them are bad plays. That's the way these teams have been. And we were talking about it earlier at the start of the show, how top-heavy the NFL, the NFC anyway, is. And I guess that's the same thing. You get some teams this year that just are no good. And then you got the middling teams like Philadelphia. Still got a shot.
Jeez, can't believe we're talking about Philadelphia as middling. Speaking of middling, I'm going to angle to get there when we return. The dreaded pick
here
segment.
Comes.
is coming up.
The Bizarro Pick, the Lock of the Year by Joey T.
Oh, yeah. You want to stay tuned for that. It's Pat Callahan and Joe Torti right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Still here broadcasting from the fabulous Parks Casino in Bensalem, PA. I got to think of something new to say about this place. It's a great place. And they're lined up already, JT. Already lined up here at the windows, making their plays. And of course, you could get here live. There's plenty of kiosks available, plenty of windows available, or you could do it by downloading the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. That will enable you to bet with the best. You can sign up now, get a risk-free bet of up to $500. So download the app. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. That's parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get your risk-free bet of up to $500. Not just football. You can bet tennis, golf, MMA. There's always golf going on. Soccer, more. All the things you can do right here at Parks Casino. You can bet with the best. My team here at Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Or you get here live. The place is fabulous. It's open, of course, almost all day. And you enjoy yourself in these leather-bound chairs that Joe Torti likes so much. And sit and watch football on 26 screens. And just enjoy yourself. So get up here to Parks Casino. You must be 21 years or older to come here. If there's a gaming problem, dial 1-800-GAME.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Callahan and Torti back here to wrap up week number 14, Joey Bags, this week in pro football, 97.5 The Fanatic. Where did the time go, pal?
I'm wrapping up the dreaded pick segment like the wrap-up of Old Yeller. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the way that goes. Some movies just end, and then some get the Old Yeller treatment.
I know.
That's how this is going.
Did you know, Joey T, here, that how about if I told you back when the season started that Gordon Minshew would have a 91.1, Gardner Minshew would have a 91.1 quarterback rating, and Philip Rivers would have an 86. Minshew would throw 8 picks, and Philip Rivers has thrown 20 interceptions heading into that matchup tomorrow in Jacksonville. Philip Rivers has 23 touchdowns and 20 picks.
Those are Eli Manning-esque numbers.
I'm telling you, that 2004 draft class, boy, I tell you, they did not go quietly into that good night, did they?
Ben's played the best, and he hasn't played.
Yeah, Ben has played by far the best. The three of them got to go away. All right, that's it, boys. It's over now. You know? The other thing that struck me is, since taking over as a starter in Week 7, Ryan Fitzpatrick has the third most passing yards in the NFL. 1,800 passing yards. And the fourth best QBR.
Whoa.
Ryan Fitz.
Well, a lot of that damage is done against the Eagles, you know. So
I tell you, you're in your fantasy playoff, and you got a guy who's like a Jared Goff type, or you got a Phillip Rivers type. There's a guy.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. Just plug him in there.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. All right, we're going to go to the dreaded... I'm sorry, Joe. I have stalled as long as I could.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We are now going to the dreaded pick segment presented by UGI. And I was 2-1 last week. Tyler was 2-1. Joey T was less than 2-1. How about that?
Can I say less than 1-2, too.
Yes, you're also less than 1-2. So I'll go first, then Tyler, and then Joey T will release his bizarro lock of the year. I like Atlanta -3 against Carolina tomorrow. Panthers fire Ron Rivera. I think that's a mistake. There's no reason to do that when they did it. I was just an owner being a dope. And I don't think it's going to play well in Carolina's locker room. Falcons are at home. They get Julio back. They get Hooper back. I think Atlanta wins this game by a touchdown. I like Philly -9.5 against the Giants. I know that that could be idiotic. But I just said 27-13, so why not? I just can't believe the Eagles are going to do this again. I don't know. I'm Charlie Brown. I got the sweater with the zigzag on it. And I'm saying Philadelphia wins by 2 TDs or 13 or something. And I like San Francisco +2.5 at New Orleans tomorrow. They have way more to play for. The Saints just clinched their division. They're going to be a little bit of a letdown here. Niners play hellacious defense, play in, play out. I like him to win this game outright against New Orleans. Tyler Zuli.
Well, Pat, I'm going to have to try to win somewhere else other than that game because I'm also taking the San Francisco 49ers with the points. They actually are in the midst and finishing up the hardest three-game stretch in terms of winning percentage in the history of the NFL. If they can find a way to finish that 2-1, you would consider that a massive success. I think they get the win in New Orleans tomorrow. I'm taking Houston minus the 9 or 9.5, depending on whatever you're getting. They're playing the Denver Broncos, who have scorned me this entire season. I'm going to go after them one more time with Drew Lock's first start on the road outside of Denver. The Texans maybe a little bit of a down game after beating the Patriots, but they're 5-1 at home. I like the way they've played lately. I will take the Texans giving the points. And this one's a little bit of a long shot. It's my chance to make some ground up on you. I'm taking the Detroit Lions plus 13 over the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think they're not going to win this game, but they've had five straight losses that were 7-7, 8-3, and 4. That bodes well for a close game in the NFC North. I think the Lions cover despite the fact that David Blau is going to be the starting quarterback for another week.
I like it. I like that Detroit. I'd love to see them upset Minnesota for obvious reasons. Here we go. Here we go. Joey T has the floor.
Okay, so we're going to start out with, I'm in agreement with you, Pat, Atlanta minus 3 against Carolina. Sorry. Sorry about that, buddy. All the reasons that you laid out there. I'm going to take Pittsburgh on the road minus 3 against Arizona. Strange to see Pittsburgh in their situation favored on the road. Tells me that something could potentially be up with that game. I'm going to take the Steelers there.
And here it comes. Here
it comes. The bizarro lock of the week.
Year. Bizarro lock of the year.
Of the year of the week, yes. I'm going head-to-head with Pat Callahan on the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm taking the Giants. Yes, the two-win Giants with 9.5 points against Philadelphia. Now, that is a virtual guarantee that the Eagles will blow
everybody
them out.
Yes. Everybody here at Parks, get to the window right now before that line goes to 10 and grab the Eagles minus the 9.5 against the Giants. Joey T with his bizarro lock of the year is the Giants plus 9.5. So good for you, pal.
Made it happen. All right. He can tell us now. Our friend Paul can tell us about all of our...
Paul Nolan from FreeWinners.net is here. Paul, you just heard Joe Torti release his bizarro lock of the year. I don't know. Just give me general thoughts that tomorrow night. I have the Eagles minus 9.5. Joey's got them plus 9. Do you lean either way?
You know what? I mean, for me, I like the over if I'm going with this game. If Eli does have a little bit of a magical moment in there, you know, he should be able to exploit that defense. It's the first time he's got, you know, that Giant team has all its weapons. You know, Tate, Ingram, Barkley. You know, and Shepard all on the field at the same time, and look, you know how good that Philly secondary has been so far. But, you know, let's be honest, that D-line should, you know, we should see that Milhouse look on Eli's face all day, Milhouse from The Simpsons. You know, he always has that, he's going to be on his butt God knows how many times. So maybe some turnovers will add to points. I would go with the over in that if I had to. But, you know, I want a little bit of love from you guys. You guys are talking about your record. This is a couple weeks in a row now. I had my main game was the under in the KC-Oakland game last week. That stayed under. What a miracle. But it stayed under. I leaned on the under Green Bay and Giants. That one. And I leaned on Pittsburgh. So it's 3-0. And you guys, you know,
you're right.
I don't understand.
You're not getting any love from us at all. I do apologize for that.
That's on us.
I'll do my Doug Peterson. That's on us, Paul. It's on us. It's on me. It's on me.
We need to do a better job.
Okay, yeah, we need to do a better job, blah, blah. But good for you, Paul. By the way, you can reach Nolan.
My one feeling was hurt. So, yeah, what do you want to start?
888-366-3733. That's how you reach Paul. 888-366-3733. I want to start with the game. I picked San Francisco plus 2.5 at New Orleans. Just give me your thoughts here about this one, Paul.
You know, to me, it comes down to a coaching battle here. You know, I really like Shanahan, but I do like Peyton in the situation. One of the things that I really liked was with that offensive line got beat up last week. It's not as if Breeze doesn't get the ball out of his hands fast enough. He's like under 2.4 seconds throughout the year. But last week he had it out under 2.2 seconds per snap. And, you know, the way he targets, you know, short dinks and dunks, I think it will neutralize that vaunted pass rush a little bit. I like the matchup also of Michael Thomas because, you know, he lines up, you know, opposite side of the field. That Sherman stays on the left, And, you know, he doesn't really deviate from that spot, so I don't see that matchup being a major issue. And I do see Michael Thomas is really uncoverable. I mean, if you look at his contested, you know, targets, you know, 9% of his, you know, he's contested. I mean, he gets separation all the time. 9% is almost unheard of, but he still catches 88% of his contested throws. So I do see them throwing the ball downfield. I mean, Breeze Bailey does it, but they're going to have to take their targets. They have no choice. Somewhere along the way, they're going to have to stretch that out a little bit. And I think they can. You know, I do think so, because I think the Akella Witherspoon is going to be a bit of a disaster against Michael Thomas. So I see that happening. I do see Kittle getting his yards. It's impossible. But at the end of the day, I'm going to bet that Breeze and Peyton are going to be much better at protecting the ball. I don't see the turn. I see them winning the turnover ratio. I would take New Orleans laying the 2.5 here. I think it's a good value. Our numbers and metrics, when we do our simulations, have it at 5.6 point spread. So 2.5 points. I think it's a good value. Yeah, I would take the Saints. And I'm not flipping you, just so you know. It's nothing personal.
Appreciate it, Paul. Appreciate it.
Paul, the other game that we've kind of been highlighting is the mirror match between Baltimore and Buffalo. Two teams, they kind of do a lot of the same things. Well, do you think there's 5.5 points between these two?
You know what? No, I don't. You know, here's the thing. It's, you know, this kid Allen, I said when he went into Dallas, I can't wait till this gets into a controlled environment. If you look at his weather games, every single game he's had, the weather has been more than 15 miles an hour, up to 25 miles an hour. And you obviously know that up in Orchard Park, it is one of those things where you're constantly dealing with the swirling winds, and it makes the guy a better quarterback in the controlled environment. And it was evident that day, you know, he really did have his way. And I do think that's going to be the one thing that might hurt Lamar Jackson in this one, because as good as he is and as much as we love him and he's a terrific kid and everything about him is the future of the NFL, in our opinion, you know, it's going to hurt that long-distance stretch in the field thing. And the other thing that really stood out on the film was the way that, the Niners attacked the edge, and they had 135 rushing yards on the edge against them. I think the Bills can do the same thing. Singletary's really good on the edge. And you know, they do Gore, you know, three in a cloud of dust in the middle on the first two, and he faces eight-man boxes constantly. I see this being a spot where they might be able to get a few yards on this thing and keep it somewhat close. It's hard to say Bills in this +6 because, obviously, you know, one team's got a weak schedule, and the Ravens have got a tough one, and, you know, you look at the Ravens, I mean, they're going to face the top six ranked pass defenses in the league. I mean, they face the Patriots. They face the Niners. They get Buffalo now. They're going to get the Steelers, and they face their own defense every day. So I just think this team's going to be equipped for the playoffs, but I do see a letdown spot here. And if I could throw one stat at you, teams that have won 8 or more consecutive games are 6-34 against the spread as road favorites. And from week 12 on, it's a really good situation where teams find their little letdown spot, and I would believe this would be the spot for that.
All right. 1-888-888-366-3733 is where you find Paul Nolan. Freewinners.net is the website. 888-366-3733. I wrote them down, Paul. So this time I'm going to give you all the love you could stand next week.
I'm doomed. I'm doomed.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate your sponsorship. I appreciate you taking the time, and we will talk to you next week, pal. All right.
You guys are great. Thanks a lot.
All right. There he is. Paul Nolan of freewinners.net.
I'm sorry. I apologize to Dean. We're not going to get to Dean, I guess. Are we out of time here?
Dean, catch us next time. Right.
Sorry about that. Ran out, but...
I'll be the bad cop.
Yeah, you're right. And you're going to be... I'm sure you're going to be the bad cop next week when another 0-3 appears on the Torty screen.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That is the actual lock of the week. Thank you very much, Tyler Zuli, back in the studio. Mike Von Floto, our on-site producer and engineer. For Pat Callahan, this is Joe Torty saying so long and enjoy this week in pro football.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.